We've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. A little bit of a late start, but it is all good. We got a loaded show lined up for you today. Tis the season for our Central Section Championship games in baseball and softball. We also have the CIF State Track and Field meet next week at Veterans Memorial Stadium. A lot of talk about that. Actually, I'm going to get into that a little bit more next week. I'm sure you guys know what's going on there. But yeah, we got about 5 minutes here to run over some stuff, some of the matchups, championship games. Again, next week, the semifinals were played Thursday in baseball and yesterday in softball. I might as well go ahead and get into who's coming on the show today. After the break, in about 5 minutes, we got three Bullard baseball players in the house right now, live here at First String Sports, where I at Rosenthal, Jason Bain, and Braden Love. They're playing in the D1 title game on Saturday at 6 o'clock. They are seeking their first title, Bullard, since 2012. We're going to have that game on 1430 ESPN. Phil Benanti and I are going to be on the call. They defeated Clovis North in round one, 9-1, and then Redwood 8-5. So these guys are putting up runs. They're having great at-bats. I had the pleasure of watching, well, I guess a game and a half. I had to leave their game against Redwood a little bit early. But, man, those dudes are playing incredible baseball right now. Excited to hear from three of them. Just before the break, at the top of the hour, Buchanan softball coach Dean Gregory is going to be coming in. His Bears defeated number two Clovis East yesterday in a crazy game, 2-1. They're going to be playing Clovis North, hoping to knock them off the pedestal, so to speak. They have won two straight Central Section championships. That game is going to be Saturday at 6 o'clock at Margie Wright Diamond at Fresno State. At the top of hour number two, we're going to be honoring the legacy of Dan Ascanio, the beloved Fresno High athletic director who passed away suddenly. He has been a mainstream in the Central Section, been all over the place. Madera, Reedley, Fresno, he's a very beloved member of the community. Unfortunately, passed away suddenly, just not very long before he was going to retire. So we're going to honor him. We have a couple of his really good friends that are coming on the show. Tim Carey, Randy Australian, a couple guys that have been on the show, great guys. We're going to talk about that and his legacy. At the end of the show, Central Valley Christian, that baseball team has been on an absolute heater right now. We're going to be talking with their coach, Caleb Flores. This is his first year. He's an alum of the school. He's the athletic director. He was supposed to, quote unquote, just step in and coach for this season, and they find themselves in the Central Section Championship game. They're going to be playing Justin Garza. He defeated Mount Whitney, that huge upset at Kingsburg. And then they defeated Edison 15-3 to reach the championship game. All right, so the championship games are set up. Let me go over these really quick. Saturday, like I mentioned, all these games are in Visalia down at Valley Strong Ballpark. Number two, Bullard against number four, Liberty. We're going to have that game on the radio. A lot of people know about this Liberty team. They put up numbers like crazy offensive numbers. They're like second in the nation in home runs. They have four guys in double digits, just some crazy stat, but neutral field, Bullard absolutely knows what they're doing. They actually played at the beginning of the year. That's where they got the 2 seed. They beat them 5-4. So that's going to be a fantastic matchup. Really excited about that one. Thursday at 6, Bakersfield Christian, the number one seed in Division II, is going to be taking on Aurora Grande, the 3 seed. Friday, I think these games are actually flip-flopped. I'm going off of Max Preps right now. Friday at 7:30, that's going to be the Garza and CBC game. Wednesday at 6 in D4, Menachi, number one seed, is going to be facing Emmanuel. Emmanuel upset Reedley, I guess, I don't know, 2-3. It's not necessarily an upset, but the Eagles beat the Pirates yesterday for that matchup. So that's going to be Wednesday. On Friday at 4 o'clock, D5 Shafter, the top seed, versus Minarets. That's going to be a really good game. Hope to make it down to Visalia for that one. And then on Saturday at 1 o'clock, we got D6. How about this? The Rough Riders of Roosevelt, the 2 seed, playing in the championship game against Corcoran. Softball matchups. Number one, like we mentioned, we got Dean Gregory coming on the show. His Buchanan Bears are going to be playing number one Clovis North, 6 o'clock. In D2, Garces is going to be taking on Redwood. In D3, Garces was the number one seed. Redwood beat Kingsburg as a 3 seed in yesterday's game. D3, we got number one Chowchilla and number three Hanford West. And D4, number four South, they beat Emmanuel against number three Mission Prep. So that is the only game that doesn't feature a number one seed. In D5, number one Woodlake versus number 10 California City. And in D6, look at this, Minarets. Both their baseball and softball teams, it's a good day for O'Neill's California, are playing in the championship game. They were the one seed, and they're going to be taking on the Buccaneers. And you may be asking yourself, where are the Buccaneers from? Well, that's Avenel. So Avenel, the 3 seed in the championship game in softball. So there is a little teaser for you. Next week, a lot of these champions are going to be crowned, so we'll be able to wrap those up and honor those champions and then wait for those D1 games later that night. All right, we're going to be taking a break right now, and we're going to be hearing from some Bullard baseball players. They are on an absolute roll right now, playing their best baseball of the year. They're going to be taking on Liberty on that Saturday game. So you're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Talking, Joe, you got that music going still there? So we got three players here right now. Go back here in my notes. There we go. All right. Playing in the D1 Central Section Championship Saturday against number 4 Liberty. Wyatt Rosenthal, Jason Bain, and Braden Love join me here at First String Sports. Early as always. Is that what Coach Donald says? You guys better get Absolutely. There early.
That comes from Coach Donald for sure.
Yeah, if you show up on time, you're late.
Right.
That's the philosophy. All right, so Saturday morning, guys, coming off a great week of baseball. You got to, unfortunately, a whole nother week to get back on the field. So what's today look like? Just kind of a relaxing day? You guys are going to get into the cage, play a little catch, or is it just a kickback day?
No, today's another day off. We have prom today, so after today, it's right back on it. But
so Bullard prom is later today.
Yeah,
awesome. You guys got big plans?
We're just gonna go to the dance and just have some fun with it.
Where are you guys taking pictures at?
I think Fort Washington.
Oh, you guys get together and take pictures and do the thing. All right, Jason, what do you got going today?
Just the same as these guys, just prom, rest day.
Good job, Braden.
Yeah, same here. Just rest day, prom.
All right. All right, so let's start back with the most recent matchup against Redwood. I'm sure you guys hear all the noise. You know what they did against Clovis and Centennial. I think, what was it, 7-1 and 12-0, right? That was the scores in their game. You guys are the 2 seed. Maybe a lot of people forgot that, right? Hey, what about us, Bullard? We're the 2 seed. We earned it. You guys had the home game. Do you feel like you went into that game with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder? Like, hey, there's some noise out there. They got their number one guy. He's headed to Miami on the mound. He shut down Clovis. Hey, but we know how to swing the bats too.
Yeah, they had a lot of hype coming into the game with McElroy on the mound, and all we had to do is just put up good at-bats off, and we knew he was going to throw strikes, and we just had to jump on him early.
What was the game plan going in against him? Because again, he's coming on a heater, didn't have a lot of innings on his arm yet this season. What was the offensive game plan?
I mean, honestly, he threw a lot of strikes, so it was honestly just hitting that first pitch fastball.
And you guys took care of that, right? Yeah. Like, what did you score in the first?
Four runs.
You got 4 runs. Was there a lot of pressure? Maybe that's not the right word, but you know, just like played a little bit looser after you get those 4 runs early. Like, hey, they're gonna have to right swing the bats as well. Like, is that kind of the philosophy? Like, hey, we got up early, you know, we're gonna play a little bit looser now.
I don't know if it's you're playing a little looser, but it definitely makes you feel a little bit better. But it also helps out your pitcher because he knows that he has a little more room and that his guys are going to come back in the dugout and help him out.
All right. So key play in that game was what? What do you guys think the key play in the Redwood game was?
I don't know if there was exactly a key play, but I would say for us it was just winning every inning.
So our offense.
Yeah. Offensively, we'd win every inning. And defensively, you know, we do our thing out there, try to minimize, like, the runs and stuff.
I think you guys end up getting 7 runs off of him.
Yeah.
Does
yeah,
that sound about right? 7 runs in the first 4 innings. Let's go back then to the Clovis North game. Both games were on the radio. If you guys want to go back and listen, Jim Sandrini did a fantastic job with Phil Benanti on that Thursday game, and we were able to walk you guys through that Tuesday game. Clovis North again, right? Coming in pretty hot. They ended up 8-7 in the track. But you guys jumped on them early as well. Was that just kind of the same thing with the Redwood game, just kind of jump out early and put the pressure back on them?
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-game elimination and no need to go out there and take a bunch of pitches. Go out and jump on them early. Get them uncomfortable.
What's up with this 7-for-7 stuff here, Jason? Just walk, right? You didn't get out all week. I think you got a couple walks in there, maybe a hit by pitch. But talk about the 7-for-7, how locked in you were.
I was really trying to stay positive, you know. That comes with a lot of confidence, but a little bit of luck too. Like, yeah, you work hard, but 7-for-7, you don't see that very often. So you got to involve some luck in there too.
I don't know, man. You're going with the pitches. You're going oppo. You're pulling things. You did a little bit of everything. How important was it for you guys to watch this guy get on base, lead off innings, and put the ball in play and get things in motion?
Yeah, Jason was electric. I mean, you go out there and first pitch, I think both games, first pitch knock, puts the defense on their toes immediately, and that sets up a great first inning, which we had 2 great first innings.
Left-handed hitter, right? Were you always left-handed when you grew up? Like, you just found yourself throwing left-handed and swinging left-handed?
Yeah, I used to be really comfortable swinging left-handed ever since I was young. Same thing.
No problems. I want to talk also about the Redwood game, you coming in to pitch. Right? Like you said, single elimination, do or die, loser goes home, winner advances to the Central Section Championship game. So you guys went Bennett Cooper to start, right? And then you went with the big guy that threw really well in the Tuesday game. And you come in and you throw the final 4 innings. Why? When did Coach first say, hey, we might bring you in a little bit early than we thought, or was that kind of the game plan all along?
Yeah, Eddie did a great job coming in, getting that last out of that inning. And I went down to the bullpen. Came back, I came back in the dugout, I was in the hole, or right, due up for that. And Coach looks at me and I said, Coach, ready to go.
And that's all it took. That's all it took. Was there a game plan before the game? Like, hey, maybe we could use you for 2 or 3, but probably not 4.
Yeah, the plan was to go the last 2 or 3 innings. And it just worked out. It was perfect, 7, 8, 9 coming up. So I was looking for a good inning and got hit a little bit in the first, but settled in, and the rest is it.
Is that the longest you've pitched all year?
Yeah, I threw 3 2/3 in the Easter Classic Championship.
Okay.
But 4 innings is, yeah, that's the most.
How'd you feel out the next day? A little sore? You just let it rip?
A little sore for sure, but with 9 days to spare, I'm not worried
about it. That's right, that's right. Leave it all on the field. I mean, what was your mentality, though, going into that? Like, it's our game to lose. It's riding on me. Was that your mentality?
Yeah, we had a good lead coming in when I came in, and I knew they were a team that bangs the fastball early, and I left a couple up there for sure, and they hit me around a little bit, but I settled in, got the curveball down, and pretty much was untouchable from there.
Yeah, the final out, the strikeout, right? You want your slider on that pitch?
The last one, that was a fastball.
That was a fastball. What was going through your mind during that time when you saw the strikeout, when guys are running to you and jumping on you? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, that whole 7th inning, I put a lot of pressure on myself walking out and had a little trouble finding the zone, got down 2-0 in the first guy. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no pressure on me. We were up 3 runs. Nope, absolutely no pressure on me. So I settled in and gave my boys a chance on defense to make a play.
Braden, when you see this guy on the mound, see him come in, maybe an inning earlier than you guys thought, what's going through your mind? Like, how tough is this guy on the mound?
Honestly, especially in that last inning, going out there up three, it's like we won. Like, I'm not exactly thinking that, but, yeah. You know, he gets the first out, and it's like, that's huge. That first out in that last inning was massive. And then he goes two strikeouts after that, you know? So, like, just seeing that and knowing what he can do, it's honestly a relief seeing him on the mound.
Yeah.
But, honestly, like, same goes for Eddie and Torn. You know, I have full confidence in them, you know? So.
Well, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want your guys to have confidence behind you. Jason, what about for you? When Wyatt went on the mound or maybe even that last inning, what's running through your mind?
There was definitely a lot of excitement, you know, because every time I see Wyatt come in, it's just a whole different level of comfort. You know, like, I know he's going to do his best, and then we're going to do our best to help him out, you know.
There's been some talented teams. If you go back, Sandrini gave me the media guide, right? And you go back and look at all the history for Bullard, you know, since 1951 are the records. And lately, post-COVID, you see a lot of 20 wins, 23-5, right? 24-7. I don't know if you guys pay attention to it, but you guys, Bullard has not reached the pinnacle yet. There's been some really talented teams that you guys have been a part of as well. Why is this year's team different, right? What separates this? Seems like you guys just like each other, right? You're going to prom tonight. I'm sure you guys do a lot of stuff off the field as well. But talk about the camaraderie and what makes this team a little bit special.
Yeah, we have a very tight-knit team this year. We've all been playing with each other since I came in when I was about 12 years old to the Bullard travel ball and all that stuff. Every other person's been here since they were day one. So it's very tight-knit. And since August, we busted it all day and never looked back. All we did was sit there and grind and grind and grind. And we knew that we were going to have to do that this year. We don't have the D1 guy coming in. We don't have the D1 guy stepping up to the plate. So we knew we had to take care of each other, and we did that very well this year.
Jason, what about for you? What do you love about these guys and playing with them?
I think my favorite thing is that I've just known them forever. And a lot of these guys, they're fun to play with. Like, they're great to be around. They make me, like, want to be there, you know what I mean? So, and that's just great because then I can go out there and I want to help them out, you know what I mean?
Braden, what about for you?
Yeah, definitely kind of what Jason said. I've been playing with most of these guys since I was like 8, you know. And honestly, like, I think the big thing this year was our senior leadership. We really stepped it up this year in the weight room or conditioning, even on the field. It's just a lot different than the past few years.
Like the accountability,
yes,
right?
Accountability,
sounds
yeah.
A lot different, the camaraderie. Are you guys just like an enjoyable group? Like, you guys have fun? Obviously, the dugout celebrations are a lot of fun, right, when you score runs. Or, I know you guys haven't hit a lot of home runs this year, but dugout celebrations are a fun thing for you guys and obviously winning as well. But who's like the funniest dude on your team? Talk about some of the personalities. You guys are all, yeah, Wyatt's pointing to himself.
There's definitely two guys that I'd go to for this. Jacob Zapata and Matt Padilla are two of the funniest guys I've ever met in my entire life. And they're kind of they're always in the middle of the clubhouse with the jokes and stuff, and they're awesome to be around.
That's cool.
Every day.
You guys agree?
Oh, yeah, I'd have to agree.
Is it just like their comments about things, they got jokes, or is it just like their overall persona?
They're never the same person, and it's yeah. Always something new every day.
That's awesome. Let's talk about your walk-up songs. That's a big deal, right? What do you guys choose as your walk-up songs?
I have No Hands right now.
Is that true? What are you guys looking at?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Help me out.
It's electric.
All right, it pumps you up a little bit.
Yeah. So I like to pick something that I personally like to listen to and that a lot of people know, so then they can also, like, you know, get energetic.
Okay, got it. Broadcasting games down there, that music is so dang loud, right? It is loud. It's literally on top of you when you're walking up to the plate. Braden, what do you got? What's yours?
My walk-up song is Friday by Ice Cube, and it doesn't really say anything. It's just, like, the first, like, 2 seconds are kind of, I think it sounds really nice, and then it's just like a beat, and I think it kind of just explains who I am as a person, you know. Not much to say. Go do it.
Have you seen the movie, though, Friday?
I have, yes.
Yeah. You guys have seen it or not?
I haven't.
All right, that's one of your things you got to do this weekend, Friday. One of the instant classics. Wyatt, what do you got? What do you roll to?
Yeah, I went back to my sophomore year one, How We Do It by Shoreline Mafia, and that gets the crowd going. Sophomore year, it would shake the stands.
Yeah.
But I think we had a different speaker back then.
Yeah, the speaker that you guys got really, really puts out. I want to hit on this a little bit. I've watched you play baseball for the last 3-plus years. You're very enthusiastic. You're very passionate out there. No inning is lost on you. No out, right? You give your all in between the white lines and a catcher too. How are you? Are you able to separate that a little bit? Like, how much is like personal? Because I know the guys you play against. You've been playing against them for a long time. You know other guys in the dugout. But is it personal or is it business? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, obviously stuff happens during the game. Especially being catching, you hear it all. So stuff happens during the game that becomes personal, but most of the time that enthusiasm is the trust that I have in my guys. And I think I show that pretty well, that I trust my guys fully on defense and on offense. And no matter what, you can't lose that trust, because that enthusiasm is what gets us through that game. Start the fire.
Do you guys feed off this guy a lot?
Definitely. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Right? Absolutely. What's the biggest moment that you've had so far in your career, Wyatt? What just fired you up, pumped you up?
Yeah, there's been a lot of great moments. I would say this Redwood game, pitching in that, was probably the most electric part of my high school career.
That's cool.
Those 4 innings of baseball.
What'd you do afterwards? Did you get some good grub?
Yeah, we went to Chick-fil-A.
All you guys?
Yeah.
Or what? Yeah. Yeah. Ray, what about for you? What's been a really cool moment in your Bullard career?
Honestly, probably playing Redwood this time and during the Easter Classic. Because during the Easter Classic, we played Redwood at Fresno City. That's when we really started to pick it up as a team, offensively and just like energy-wise. And that game was one of the most electric games I've ever played in, besides these last 2 games.
Yeah, and besides Friday when you guys win a Central Section championship,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Jason, what about for you? It's been a cool moment.
Honestly, I'd say yesterday was the first pitch. The first pitch I saw, I went out there aggressive, took a swing, and it was nice. No, I think that just started it all.
Started it all. You guys put up that 4 spot, right? The historical significance, I mentioned, you know, the last 5 years at least, a lot of 20-win seasons. Do you guys really dive in a little bit? Like, you can't help but notice when you walk onto Mike Noakes Field, right? You see the history and the championships. There's a plaque down there as well. You know, the 88 and 89 teams were nationally ranked. What would it mean for you guys as a program and individually to bring a championship back to Bullard High School?
Yeah, it would mean a lot. We've been there the last 4 years. It's in the palm of our hands. And that's the thing Donald's been telling us for the past month or two, is the Valley is up for grabs this year more than ever. And we've had some of the best Bullard baseball teams in history. And high school baseball playoffs stuff happens, and it doesn't always kick your way, and we just happen to get hot at the right time. So this Valley would mean a lot for Bullard as a whole.
You guys know about the history of Bullard, and you know the significance of that field and wearing Knights across your chest.
Of course, you know, legendary Coach Noakes.
That's right.
He's a great guy to be like have out there, definitely.
What is it? We got a couple minutes with you guys. What is it about Coach Donald that makes you want to run through a wall for him?
It's the way he shows up every day, and he's the same person, and you can always go and talk to him no matter what about anything. He's always going to be there for you, and I believe he's the best coach in the Central Valley, maybe that the Central Valley's ever seen.
One of the best in California history. Right,
100%.
Got the national number ones to speak of it, and his impact on players both on and off the field is certainly significant. What do you guys appreciate about the coaching staff? You know, mentioned Coach Noakes and his storytelling and his wisdom that he brings to the program as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love how Donald doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah,
you know, everything's straight to the point. And I mean, another coach is Coach Bobby, our hitting coach. He definitely knows how to get us right when we're not hitting well or So big thanks to him as well.
Yeah, yeah, huge thank you to Bobby. Bobby's always there for you if you ever need help with anything baseball related or not. You can always there to talk to him. But yeah, with Coach Donald, I think one of the things I like most about him is that he'll respect you as well, you know. But it's got to be mutual. You got to respect him, and he'll respect you back. And I'd run through a wall for him because he'd do the same for me. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. That's great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Saturday's matchup against Liberty. Again, almost like Redwood, you have played them. You know the stats, the crazy stats that they've put up, all the home runs that they've hit, a lot of talk about their ballpark. You guys are playing on a different field, different atmosphere. How are you able to block out the noise and just focus on playing the game of baseball?
Well, you don't need to block out the noise if you don't let it in. So we haven't looked at it, and it's just another baseball game. It's high school baseball. Stuff happens. We know stuff's going to go sideways, but we're going into a field where it almost feels like it's home field advantage. And being the home team, I think we're in a good spot. I think our pitchers are going to go out there and challenge them, same way that we did when we played them the first time. And it's just going to be a great baseball game.
And how many innings are you ready to go? Whatever it takes, right?
Coach Donald's going to give me the number, and I'm going to say yes, sir.
Any thought to maybe starting on the mound?
That's up to my coaches, and I have full faith in whatever they do that it's the right choice.
Good answer. All right, how about for you guys? What, going and playing on that field, how excited are you and playing the game of baseball for a championship?
Yeah, we're all really excited. You know, sometimes it feels unreal, you know. It's kind of hard to take in, but once we get there, I'm sure it'll be great. You know, and I'm just going to try to keep my mindset of staying positive and kind of not treat it as just another game, because, you know, but just with higher stakes.
Why don't you hit that first pitch up the middle for a single? How about that? Just get it going, right? Get that pressure off and just stroke it up the middle. Braden, what about for you? How pumped are you about next Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, this is huge for me. This is all I've wanted the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and it's all I've been working for, you know, when I go to the gym or go hit after school. So I think it's a really big thing for me. And something that Wyatt said was against Redwood the other day is we're almost playing 7 games on Saturday. Each inning is, you know, its own game, and we have to win each one to, you know, be out on top.
Well, good luck, guys. Unfortunately, we got to wait a week. Got to wait a whole dang week for you guys to take the field there at Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia. But, again, thank you guys for joining me. This was awesome. Wyatt Rosenthal, Jason Bain, and Braden Love. Thanks for coming on. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to turn our attention to softball. We got Dean Gregory, the head coach at Buchanan, coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I've got another 10 minutes or so. Great conversation with those boys, man. I hope you guys are able to hear it. I think sometimes putting three different guys on headsets, the mic level's a little bit low. But, yeah, good stuff there from those guys. They were all business, right? They're big personality guys, but, man, they were focused, locked in. And as they were leaving during the break, they said, yeah, we got to bring this baseball title back to the Fresno area. Right? It's been a while. So, yeah, they're in good shape. They're facing a really good team in Liberty. And speaking of championship games, there's a lot going on next week in softball as well. Dean Gregory is joining me now. His Bears are playing for the D1 title on Saturday. I believe at 6 o'clock, right? Margie, right?
I think it's 7.
Is it 7? Okay. All right, 7 o'clock. They're going to be taking on Clovis North. What are their nemesis? Track opponents. Dean, it's been a while. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, so let's get right into yesterday's game. Clovis East, you're at their place. They beat you 10 days earlier, 5-0. Just kind of walk us through the game until the last out, 1-0 win. I heard it was a really tight one.
Yeah, both pitchers were dealing. Their pitcher, Chloe Solis, she's a tough competitor. And last time we faced them, last game of track, she had 14 strikeouts. So our big thing was to tell the girls, put the ball in play. And we did. We had opportunities. They made several nice plays. Their center fielder made a really nice catch against the fence. So it was 0-0. Going to the seventh, we get our leadoff hitter on an error. And two outs later, she's at second, and we have runner at first, and my four-hitter, Addie Schaefer, our catcher, she lined a base hit up the middle, scored the run, and then Brooklyn Ainsworth, our pitcher, who is yesterday was arguably her best game I've ever seen her throw, and she just went out and set them down 1-2-3.
Threw a one-hitter here, according to Max Preps.
Yeah.
When that final out was recorded, what was the celebration like?
It was pretty cool. It's always fun. I remember the first time I was involved in a championship game and our girls won. I thought I was part of it. And then I realized it's a lot more fun just to sit there and watch them. And so when that last out was made, Brooklyn threw a rise ball and the girls struck out swinging, and our girls just went nuts. And so it was pretty special.
So what? So you guys defeated St. Joseph on the road, 9-5. So walk us through that game a little bit. What was clicking?
Well, obviously we were swinging the bats. St. Joe's is a really good team offensively, defensively. Their pitching isn't. It's not like facing Clovis East or Clovis North. I mean, they both have dominant pitchers. We came out swinging the bats. We hit again. Our catcher Addie Schaefer had a two-run homer in the first. We added on. We were up at 1.7-0, and then they chipped away one inning, got four runs, and we held them off at the end.
So what has been the MO of this team? You guys are 20-10 overall. Went 4-6 in the track. We'll talk about that if we got time a little bit. But what's kind of been the demeanor of this team throughout these playoffs?
Well, the playoffs, our two games in the playoffs have been awesome. We've scuffled. I mean, obviously you just brought up the track record. I sat there watching the St. Joe's game, and they have four seniors and all really special players, you can tell just by watching them. I sat there and I looked out at our field, and we have three freshmen starting. We have four sophomores starting and two juniors. And my senior leader has been hurt. She told me on Thursday, she said, "Coach, I want to hit." And so she DH'd yesterday, which was – it's just good to have her in the lineup because she's such a great kid, Harmony McMurray. I sat there and I looked and I said – we scuffled, and so I said the reason we're young.
Yeah.
And I always tell the kids, when you're on varsity, it doesn't matter what year you are. You're a varsity player. But it kind of does a little bit, you know. you could say it, but they still got to get the experience and everything, and they're just starting to gel and playing well. They're really tight as a group, and for girls that's huge.
So you guys are facing Clovis North.
Yeah.
They got you 6-0, 7-3 in the track. What do they do well? What are you guys going to have to do to counteract them?
For one thing, they our girls just need to believe that they can beat them. Because they've been kind of our kryptonite. And, they pitch well. Jocelyn Gonzalez is a really good pitcher. And they've got a solid lineup. It's just a matter of us. Same thing. I mean, she usually will get a lot of strikeouts. We got to put the ball in play and hope good things happen. But we have to play defense. That's one thing that was kind of hurt us during track. We had some games where we really struggled defensively, and it wasn't one person. It was we shared it.
We shared it. Well, what'd you say, three freshmen, four sophomores, and a couple juniors sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you pretty much have an idea of what type of team is coming in every year.
Right.
Has this team exceeded the expectations that you guys had?
Well, I felt like we had a chance to be where we're at just based on the fact that I have a sophomore pitcher that got us there as a freshman last year. And Addie's a really special player, our catcher. The thing I wasn't counting on is Harmony, my center fielder. She's a four-year starter, awesome kid, team leader, and she got hurt and had to sit. Finally, we sat her down completely a couple weeks ago, and we battled through that, through the injuries, and Addie was hurt too. We had to DH her for a while. But I don't know. I did think we could get here. but there were some doubts during track.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into that just a little bit. So you guys went 4-6, three straight two stretches of losing the West, North, and then East.
Right.
With that young team, what's kind of the message after a game or during the week? How were you able to keep them together?
We preached, you got to believe in how good you are. Because I think sometimes they doubt it, and it's rough. You know, when you're competitive, and we've got some competitive kids, and I'm not saying, you know, the other team didn't have something to do with us getting beat, but we beat ourselves a little bit as well. And so you just had to convince them that, you know, want the ball when you're on defense. You know, when you're at the plate, compete, hunt your pitch. Don't let the pitcher, you know, don't be defensive when you've got the bat in your hand. And I have no explanation for how it turned on a dime, because I mean, our last game with East, I mean, it was kind of the same thing. We were 0-0 through four. Brooklyn had a perfect game through four, and then we fell apart in the fifth, and they beat us 5-0, all five runs unearned, and we just couldn't get anything going. Like I said, she had 14 strikeouts. I think she threw a one or two hitter, and then we go to St. Joe's and the bats were alive. Brooklyn was throwing well. We played good defense, and it carried over to last night.
We got a couple of minutes here with you, Coach.
Yeah.
So how many championship games now have you played in? How many? Oh. How many have you won?
Well, I know I've won three, but I don't know. We were in last year's, but I think we've probably been in about four others. So
it's usually track teams. Track has been pretty dominant the last few years.
Typically, yeah. I mean, we played Clovis during when Danielle Lung was there. We played Clovis a couple times, beat him once and lost to him. It's track schools.
It's usually track schools. And final question here for you, Coach. What would it mean for that track or that Central Section Championship?
I'd mean everything. I mean, I think about, I mean, I tell the kids, I mean, I always, when you have a special player, I mean, I've got a lot of them, but when you've coached a kid for 4 years, like I've coached Harmony, and she wants it so bad, you know, it would mean everything for her to leave Buchanan with a section championship, but also the rest of the kids. It would mean a lot. I mean, they're a great group, and I love coaching them.
You do a great job. I remember back when I was covering for the Clovis Roundup and for the newspaper, and you'd always be very, you know, available to talk about the game and talk about the girls. So, hey, thanks. Good to see you.
Good
congrats
to see you
on another championship game that you guys are going to be playing, and good luck.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, we are going to take a break right now. We're going to be talking with a couple guys that I really enjoy talking with. It's Tim Carey and Ranley Australian. We're going to be talking about Dan Escano, who unfortunately passed away suddenly last week, athletic director at Fresno High. We're going to talk about his legacy, have some fun stories as well, and talk about the impact that he had on his community as well. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Thankful for you guys listening in. If you're driving around town on this beautiful Saturday morning, listening to 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader, or you're listening on a device right now, or maybe you're listening in the future, right? You can listen to any of the past episodes on 1430ESPNFresno.com. They're all right there under the Central Valley Sports Report, under podcast as well. Again, thank you guys for listening. This is a lot of fun. We love talking to student athletes and previewing games, and it's championship season for sure. It's the end of the school year. Lots of great stuff happening right now. We, however, want to take a little bit of a turn here, and we're going to be talking about Dan Escano, who's athletic director at Fresno High, who unfortunately passed away suddenly. We're going to be talking about his legacy, what he meant to sports and overall in the Central Valley, because he truly was a champion of the entire Valley. We have two of his good friends here, Randy Australian, athletic director at Selma High, and Tim Carey, athletic manager, Fresno Unified School District student engagement as well. First of all, thank you guys for coming in. I know we got a lot of stuff to cover. It's kind of a heavy time as well, but thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Paul. Glad to be here. When Tim and I got the message to represent Dan, just an incredible honor, and sharing some stories about Dan and his legacy is. It's 20 minutes isn't going to be enough, but it's certainly going to be a fun time.
Oh, we're going to talk more than that. We're going to give Dan a lot more time. I know you have some other notes and messages from other people out there, athletic directors, that you want to get out there to the public to honor Dan. Let's start with you, Tim, just about the person that Dan was, the impact that he had, his contributions to not only Fresno High, but to the Central Section as well.
When I started 20 years ago, Dan had been in there a few years, and just he was one of those people that, as an athletic director, especially a young athletic director, you felt welcome from day one with Dan. He showed us the right way to do things. He was on board of managers. He was, contributing with the league and the schools, and always just supported you. You always felt like if I had a question, I'd go to Dan. And he was probably maybe 4 or 5 years ahead of me, but as an athletic director, but it seemed like he had 50 years of experience, right? And always welcoming, always felt comfortable to talk to him. He was one of those people. We had a lot of them, and we had some great people coming up. And, as a young one, I had people like himself and Randy had been there, was around the same time as Dan, and being able to come up with Roger Oliver and Ken Pappy and, Merv Carter, all these legends in the Fresno area to get their support. But for all those great ones, Dan was right there. Mm-hmm. Dan, and he always introduced himself as, Dan Ascanio from the Reedy High School.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was great. So many times, people refer to Dan and our section office as well as like the trailblazer of athletic directors just because of Dan's process in which, he serves so many different capacities. And like Tim said, you could call him up if you had a question about a bylaw or a rule. And Dan was very methodical, very methodical. I mean, I always felt like that's why we got along so well, because I was the hare and he was the turtle. Dan was always the methodical and would have a lot of layers to his thoughts did a great job of servicing Reedy in the time where, he was probably one of the most experienced. He had coached at Madera. He had coached at Reedy baseball. And so he came up with a lot of experience, and we were able to be very fortunate to have Dan as a resource for our section.
Yeah. I think the resource part, you could having a discussion at Board of Managers about something, and he could give you the history of why we got here from the last 10 years.
Yep.
And how we got to this point. And very few people have that institutional knowledge at a moment's notice like Dan could do that.
You have some things from other athletic directors and some other thoughts that you've been hearing, because I'm sure, again, it's been a heavy week for all you guys, and the news travels, I'm sure, getting that phone call and that text and then texting other people is a horrible thing to go through, but What are some of the great things that other people have been saying?
Well, I'll share a couple here if you don't mind. One is from Sue Farmer at Sunnyside shared with me that just how close Roger Oliver and Dan were as friends when Roger was at Sunnyside. And, they would travel to the conferences together, play golf together. And many times we were in the same group. And Dan's a very good golfer. Roger, not so much. That was not his forte. But, just great times together with them. And one thing that Dan did last week, we had our last district meeting. And Dan got up and blessed every one of us. And when I say blessed, I mean he literally stood up and said, he goes, I'm from my heritage from Venezuela, and we go to our grandparents for blessings. And I want to share a blessing with each of you in the room. And it was all the Fresno Unified Athletic Directors, and including my my secretary. And he went around each person and spoke about them. and blessed them and talked about them with humor, with compassion, knowledge of them, and to just so heartfelt and not knowing that was the last time many of us would see him. Yeah, that was just, that was Dan. You know, he just, he loved everybody and cared about everyone. And in that moment for that 20, 25 minutes, it was just spectacular.
That sounds like something you guys will never forget, never, right? Never. Randy, you have some piggyback on that?
Yeah, so Friday, last Friday, Dan had called me and said, hey, I wanna bring by my brand new Dodge off-road pickup he had bought about a month ago. And him and Brett Moorhead went to San Jose in an off-road. Dan was big in off-roading. That was one of his getaways, was to go off-roading and trails. Group had really had bikes, and Dan would follow him in his Jeep. Dan was a big Jeep guy. Anyway, he had a medical incident in February, and his Jeep was totaled. And so he transferred into this beautiful Dodge pickup, and he wanted to bring it by Selma and show it to me Friday. And so he did, and we went for a ride around the block, and it was absolutely beautiful, and he was really, really proud of it. And we had a great little half-hour conversation, and I said, Dan, this is a beautiful pickup. You're going to enjoy it, and congratulations. And I said, you know, I'm working on the section softball championships, and he had his awards banquet coming up this Thursday, so he wasn't going to be able to be there for that, but he was going to be there Friday and Saturday. And so he's been the music behind the scenes at Margie Wright Field for the 10 years of section champion softball. And we've had just a great time with Dan. He's all of genres of music. But anyway, back to his visit with me on Friday, that was just clear out of the blue. He stopped by to show me his pickup, and we had a great visit. And then, of course, Saturday morning is when this all, when he passed. And when I got the message from Tim on Saturday afternoon, it was like, you know, you just didn't really want to believe it, or it just, you know, you just had a hard time processing it. And still to this day, I'm having a hard time processing it, because Dan was just a great, great person that made everybody, you know, a better for what they did. And just so sudden is hard. And, you know, there's been ADs that in Dan's circle that have all reached out. Doug Davis of Kingsburg, it's Ken Sawatsky of Erosi, and John DeLong of Golden West, and Brian Penner. Those people all in Dan's circle and have all reached out, like many have reached out to Tim. So there's going to be a great, great following from the section office June 1st in Reedley for Dan's services, and we're excited to be there as well.
So he was living in Reedley and driving to Fresno, huh?
Yep.
Manning Avenue.
Yep.
I love the story, Tim. Gosh, man, if you're listening out there and that you're not getting a little choked up about hearing how he spoke just truth and love and everything from the heart into other athletic directors, you don't run into that every day. Right? I mean, just, you know, with cutthroat things, with trying to get over people. And I mean, all the craziness that's in the world, somebody that's able to speak truth and love in other people's lives is pretty special.
Yeah. I'd like to share another story. This is from John Fernandez, the AD of Madera. And John played for Dan. He was a baseball player at Madera High for Dan. And we've all kind of heard this story. And so I asked John just to share it with me, make sure I had it right. And so thank you, John, for sharing it with me. But when he was the head baseball coach of Madera, he, at that point, he really wanted to become more healthy. So he's, you know, I've only known Dan and how he looks, but apparently he had been heavier at one point and did a lot to get in good shape. So he started jogging daily, and he was trying to come up with ways to fundraise for the baseball program. So he developed the idea he would set a goal to jog a certain amount of miles on his birthday and generate sponsors per mile. Well, he decided to make it his age. So at 40, he started doing this, and he'd run 40 miles. And the last year he did it was, as John thought, was his 43rd birthday, and he'd have coworkers and students who'd run with him to keep him company and make sure he was safe, and he would run around the track at Madera High School, but also run from Madera High to Madera South back and forth, which is about a mile each way. And he'd run that the whole time, start early in the morning and then finish up in the afternoon. And he said 1 year, even after he finished his run, he would proceed to baseball practice and throw batting practice. So he'd run 40 miles and then go throw some BP. But that's, you know, that speaks again to Dan. Like, you know, he took something that he wanted to do for himself, but how could it benefit others?
Yeah. Just a typical Dan Escanio, you know, tribute to wanting to do what's right for the section and putting himself second to you know, being how competitive he was. You know, you asked that. Paul, I mean, one of the things about Dan is, you know, he wanted to be, at sometimes he was criticized for being so rule-oriented. And sometimes, you know, he was always about the section rules, the bylaws, the league bylaws. And he was one of those people that, you know, you could always rest assured that Dan was going to be by the book. That's what Dan was. He was by the book.
Yeah. I'll share another one from Larry Lopez at Roosevelt. And Larry and Dan are, you know, very close friends, and especially I think with the rivalry between Fresno and Roosevelt, you know, they really developed even more. And this is Larry's words were, you know, I have come across a lot of great people in his time, but I have never met a more genuine person in his life. From the days of the Reedley High School to the days working together at Fresno High School, he has held steadfast to his principles and philosophy. The rivalry between Roosevelt and Fresno High was built out of respect and tradition, and Dan epitomized both those traits. And on a personal note, Larry knew Dan loved and cherished his family, and our hearts go out to them, and Dan will truly be missed. Hashtag Rough Rider Love.
We're talking off air a little bit about his love of the Central Valley, right? He just celebrated other champions. It didn't matter what school, right? He loved watching somebody, a team, work hard to achieve their goals.
Correct.
And then celebrate, whether on the field or on the court or whatever. I mean, that speaks a lot about him too, how he just rooted for kids. It didn't matter necessarily what was across their chest.
Yep. Correct.
If Madera was playing in the section champion softball finals last year, Dan was the first one on the field to congratulate coach, because Dan had that affiliation back to Madera all the time. And so, you know, as genuine as he was that way, he was as genuine about his dislike for technology. And that's where we had so much fun together at AD's conferences. I get a funny story. There was about eight of us, and we all went to eat. And one the restaurant that we went to, you had to pay with a credit card on the kiosk, and Dan refused. He said, "I'm not paying that way, and I'll just won't eat."
It was like, my cash is no good here. What's going on here? Newfangled technology.
I said, Dan, we'll help you. I'll just spot you some money. We're not leaving right now. So yeah. Dan was technology was something that, you know, he had to catch up with, but he didn't run from it, but he certainly didn't like it.
I can just picture him at athletic director meetings, right? Spreadsheets and all this stuff. He's like, come on, guys, write it down and talk about it.
Yeah. If there was a discussion and Dan raised his hand, we all knew, you know, we were going to have a 10-minute delay.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, very layered. And, you know, if that school bus pulled up in front of you and we all knew it was a yellow bus,
we'd
know the history of why it was a yellow bus and why those three lines were on there, just to say, hey, the bus is yellow. But I think that, like, that meeting when he gave us his blessings, everyone's like, yeah, don't stop talking.
Yeah.
Right? That's, you know, that was something. When he spoke, it wasn't wasted. Mm-hmm. Right? It may have taken a while to get there, but it was, everything had foundation and value, and it was important that people heard it. And I think if you didn't know him, you'd be first kind of look at him like, well, you know, he's talking a lot, but then you realize
he means it.
He's but in what he's talking, you need to hear.
Yep.
And it's important that we continue to understand why we do the things we do and how we got to where we are in the section. Now, all the changes we've made, how did we get there? And that was the institutional knowledge we just lost.
Yep. Dan, incredible, and just a friend. And you know, when I started, Dan had a few years in, but we were going through a transition where we're remodeling a stadium or the pool, and that's how we developed all these relationships. Is, you know, Dan was one of those people we'd Reedley High School became, you know, our home field during that time. And Dan graciously gave us, you know, everything we needed to host football games, and it was our home away from home. And vice versa, when he needed to use our swimming pool, you know, it was just carte blanche done. There's no questions asked. And so, you know, those are the relationships you develop, and those are the relationships we miss. And you know, so many times in this AD world, you know, it's a stepping stone to something bigger and better. And for Dan, it was a true passion. It really was.
Absolutely.
The camaraderie with guys that are getting close to the retirement age, and we're planning different things. The old guard, so to speak, the guys that really understand the history of Fresno Unified, the history of Roosevelt, Fresno High, Hoover, even Bullard. Would you say, or how would you frame how important that is for this next generation of athletic directors to really understand that and really take pride in the traditions and really thrive in those situations?
I think part of it is, you know, when you get in this business, there's a lot, most people don't know what we do, right? Except those in the business, we all know what we do. And so it's a family of people that work together to support each other. And yeah, we, like most families, we have differences, and you know, with different people at times, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to do what's right for the kids in the central section. And when I first started, I distinctly remember Jim Critchlow saying at my very first meeting that, you know, the average career of a high school athletic director nationally at that time was 3.5 years. And I'm looking around, and, you know, there's a few people have been there longer. And, you know, like Randy and Dan were there about, you know, 4 or 5. And I was sitting in the back with Pat Riddlesprigger and you know, Jesse Hardwick started at the same time, and Diana Nelbadian and you know, Matt Cezino. We were all right in that same time frame. And we're like, yeah, man, I hope we make it. You know, and now here we are at 20, 25 years. And we're the elder statesmen that are, you know, like with myself retiring, and Dan was supposed to be retiring, and Sue Farmer retiring from Fresno Unified, and Marty Bitter from Madera Unified, and Andrea Devine at Madera South, right? In our league alone, that's a lot of people moving on. So my hope is that the new AD is you get to know those that have been there a lot longer and have the experience and the knowledge and learn from them and just sit down and talk to them and hear what we have to share. And you know, I used to joke that when I, you know, years ago when I was going to retire, I was going to chuck my phone off the Pismo Beach Pier and walk away, right? But as I'm now, I'm at that point, I know that, you know, my phone's there. People are going to call. I'm here to support, here to help, answer questions, whatever I can do, so that we continue to grow and not just be happy where we're at. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
But make sure that, you know, the one thing I'll always encourage is get to know the people in that room with you. We're going into that new super conference for, you know, with Clovis Schools, and we haven't partnered with them for a while. So it's important that our coaches and our EDs get in space together and get to know each other, not just from across the field during a game, but this is who we're working with on a daily basis and who we're trying to combine and make things right for this area.
So in the last, I would say, you know, 7 to 8 years, we've the section and all of us have kind of taken on this inside out coaching philosophy and trying to transform ourselves from the transactional coaching style that had existed for many years to this more transformational approach where you're developing athletes, you're developing young people to make great lives, great decisions in their lives. And every time I go back to trying to get away from the transactional to the transformational styles, you could truly think of one person, and that's Dan Ascanio, because Dan was all about the transformation of a student athlete, the transformation of developing and caring about the person more than, you know, the win or loss. And it's going to be a tough thing, because in the coaching world, you know, it's became winning at all cost, and that sometimes creates the challenge that we have today with the sportsmanship and with the divisions and with the realignment. Is everybody's focused on how can I win? How can I win this game? And Dan was more about the bigger picture, and that's what I'm going to miss. Just a tremendous amount.
And I think that does get lost, and I think it's getting more in the distance, right, in this age of transfers and winning at all costs and year-round sports and all, and the things that a lot of high school sports has become, like the lost art of pouring into the lives of student athletes and, right, staying after practice later, whether you're a coach or an athletic director, you know, an athletic director talking to a coach, mm-hmm. breathing life into a coach, mm-hmm. athletic director breathing, starting a new program, sure. and encouraging students and walking down the halls and saying, hey, you ever thought of playing this sport called water polo? Mm-hmm. Like, you right. never know, and right. you never know how that's going to impact a young boy or a girl as well. And we just hope, right, that all of those things just stay important throughout high school sports, right? We could talk until we're blue in the face sure. about this matchup sure. and that matchup and sure. and who's going to win the championship game and who's going where and all that stuff, right, which is certainly important.
Sure.
However, at the end of the day, what matters most?
Right. And again, you know, Tim's been through this for as many years as any of us, but, you know, we're hiring so many young coaches today. And who's teaching the young coaches? You know, who does a young coach go to for their resource and how to deal with, you know, the parents, how to deal with all the challenges of today, and so, you know, that's an art that when we lose somebody legendary like Dan, you know, like Tim said, you know, that's a library of, it's an institution of knowledge and. And you just don't replace that. You just don't walk into those shoes and replace that.
And, you know, I think, like, for Fresno Unified, I would say, you know, Dan was retiring. We were going to be losing him in that sense. But, you know, we've got some really good people in our district between, you know, Brandon Gilbert and Dara Johnson, Larry Lopez, J.D. Burnett, you know, Dave Wheeler over at SN. We've got some really good people that are still going to be here to continue that charge. And, you know, Larry's obviously been around it a long time. You know, he still has that knowledge to share in those meetings. And I think Brandon's over 10 years now.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of came in kicking yep. and screaming, like, I guess I'm going to be the AD. And, you know, turned out to be a very good one. And you know, Dara assisted me all my time as the AD at Hoover. And now she's leading the charge, mm-hmm. you know, and she's been kind of following Dan's footsteps at the section, mm-hmm. where she's been on board of managers, and now she's on, you know, executive cabinet and representing our section at the state level. So we, you know, we have some really good people in the area, and I hope that they will continue to carry that torch and continue to just keep making things better for everybody. And it's definitely gonna be tough. And you know, two things I'll say personally with Dan that always, you know, remind me of him more than anything else is, you know, I get a text from him, and it was always, hey, Tim, are you free for a call, right? I'm going to miss getting those. Or mm-hmm. he always asked me about my socks, mm-hmm. and he'd put on this bad accent, and he goes, how about them socks? Or he'd say, my feet are cold, but my socks are hot.
If I'm stepping on your toe, you got to move your feet.
Yeah, and he'd show up with that big hat of his.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's even like some of the new age, they just go, oh, yeah, Dan's here. That big hat comes walking in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Takes up two chairs behind him at the board of managers, right? He'd have his camera out at every game, pictures of the kids at Fresno High or at Reedley. And just things like that, you know, was important to him to be there for his kids and his family. And, you know, we haven't even talked about his family. And,
right.
You know, I just met his wife a few months ago for the first time. Yep. And definitely true that opposites attract.
Yep.
He's very calm and stoic, and she's just full of energy. I'm like, I see why you guys get along so well. And
his daughter was the Reedley College assistant volleyball coach. Dan would often be seen Dan either announcing some Reedley College volleyball games or supporting the Lady Tigers. So that was always cool. And so, you know, oftentimes, you know, Randy, I called you back at this time. Well, I couldn't take the call at that time because I knew it was going to take more than 5 minutes.
So a phone call from Dan meant you got to block out a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah, when he said you're free for a call, I had to check my calendar.
Yeah. I had to get on the golf cart and go out to the football stadium where no one was going to call me or that.
But try to go hide.
And he was fun to golf with, man.
Yeah.
Fun to golf with. Over the last 8 years was, for the most part, Dan, John Fernandez, Marty Bitter, and I playing in our athletic director conference tournament, and just a good time. And you know, just he could hit the ball, and if he was struggling, he knew it. But he you'd see him as a coach; he's fixing it and he's figuring it out. But just fun to play with, fun to hang out with. You know, Marty Bitter talked about all the time he spent with him on executive cabinet and at the AD conferences, and just, you know, in our league meetings, but just how important he was to Marty and his growth as an athletic director as well. And he's touched so many people. Just an honor to be friends with him and have worked with him as long as we have.
Absolutely.
We got a couple more minutes with you guys again. Thanks for sharing these stories and about Dan's legacy. Is there anything that you feel like you would love people to know more about him? I'm glad you mentioned his family as well. Living in Reedley, California, right? Small, it's still considered a small town. You're a Selma guy, Randy. Oh, I'm a Dinuba guy.
Absolutely.
Small town.
You know, we Dinuba's facilities, he's really proud of. They've done some things most recently, and he wasn't a part of, but he's still very proud of. You know, they've transformed their baseball facility, softball facility, and they've remodeled their gyms and big screens in there, and their swimming complex is beautiful. And so Dan's always been real proud of their facilities and what he was able to share when his time was there. And there was times where I know that Dan always wanted to have something that he could hang his hat on, and that was one of the things that he was really proud of, is being. And it hurt him when he wasn't able to continue at Reedley, but he was able to latch on to some great people at Fresno Unified and continue his legacy, and we were able to have such a great time in some of our conference meetings and those kind of things, because you knew Dan was going to come, and you knew Dan was going to have a lot of knowledge, and you knew Dan was going to represent whoever he needed to represent. And so It's definitely a time where somebody that would look up to Dan and say what is it, where's that book, what can we go to for a resource, and it's just people. You got to find the right people, and you got to find the right people that care like Dan did.
Absolutely.
And he'll step on your toes. What else? And don't throw any electronics in front of his face.
It'd take him a while to text. It'd probably take him 5 minutes.
I'd always start the conversation, Dan, how you doing today? Because that was one of his things that he said.
How you doing today?
How you doing? So I kind of adopted that, and his response would always be, all right.
With a smile on his face.
So he loved the things he loved, and that was the off-roading and the golfing. And I don't know how many times we went into a golf pro shop when we were in San Diego, and I told him, one of these times, are you going to buy something? Because I've never seen you buy anything at these places. He sampled everything but never bought anything. I thought we were at Costco.
Tim, some final thoughts from you. I know you're at the end of your time at Fresno Unified as well. Your son works here, so I've enjoyed getting to know him the last 5 years. And you said something about, you're texting people Red Sox numbers counting down the days of your retirement. True story.
Thanks for sharing that, Ryan. I appreciate you. Now I was just kind of like joking with Brian Wells, who's my assistant super, who's also retiring, and he's been counting down the days since I think like August. Sorry, Brian, I'm gonna give him a little ear tug for that one. But I just started kind of joking. I said I'm gonna send you one of my favorite Boston athletes, like their uniform number every day. So I think I started with Pedro Martinez at day 45, and obviously Big Poppy at 34, and just kind of down the list.
That's cool.
So someone different every day, and yesterday was day 23, so I actually shared a picture of my dad. That was his number 23, but wearing a Hoover jersey. Mm. That's that number 23 on it. Next one is, of course, the great Doug Flutie. The only college one I'm putting in there. Everyone else is pros. So, you know, I guess 12 is going to be Brady or something. I don't know. I guess he's all right. But yeah, just having a little fun with it, and you know, I share it with my family, and I share it with Brian and to my two best friends from back home, and you know, I throw some old school ones at them, and you know, they have to figure out if even they remember who Tony Conigliaro was or Jerry Cheever. So it's, you know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you're digging deep on those guys.
Oh yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Well, hey guys, you guys were two guys I thought of bringing in and talking about Dan, and you guys.
Much
were quick to reply and showed up here and did a fantastic job. I loved how you shared from other people's thoughts as well about Dan's legacy. Yeah. So, hey, appreciate you, both of you guys, greatly.
Thank you.
You guys do a fantastic job. And, again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us. And, yeah. And it's an honor to just be a voice for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
To share about Dan. It's, he touched so many people. And to just share their stories and, you know, you know, like last time I was on the show, we could probably sit here for 3 more hours talking about him.
Yep.
Well, in your retirement days, why don't we just do an offshoot podcast or
there
something?
There you go.
I don't know the Boston sports, so we're on the West Coast, so I don't know how well that would resonate with people around here. I know,
there's five or six people might listen.
Oh, your son, one
my son, this is his wife, maybe my daughter. You know.
Maybe.
Paul, all right. Thank you, Paul, for everything you do.
Yeah, thank you, man. We appreciate you.
What you do for the small people like us to share some moments with the people behind the scenes is important, and we thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Keep on building up the Central Valley Athletics, and when you have seeing the Bullard kids on here today was great.
Yep.
You know, the more we do that, honor them and our coaches, and it's fun to know there's a spot here every Saturday for them to talk about what they do.
Oh, so, thanks. That means a lot to me as well. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk some baseball. CBC is in the championship game. We're talking with their head coach on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Segment of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. Baseball, softball championships next week. Man, I love this time of the year. We're going to be crowning 6 in baseball, 6 in softball. The baseball ones are returning to Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia, California. I love that field. I love that field. It's a fun field to watch a baseball game. I'm sure it's a fun field to play a baseball game. And Central Valley Christian, the Cavaliers, are going to be playing for a Central Section Championship against Justin Garza, who is the number 7 seed. The Road Warriors, as I call them, the Cavaliers right now, the 9 seed. Caleb Flores is the head coach. He is on the line right now. So, Caleb, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you. How you doing?
Hey, Paul. How's it going? Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. I had a good time talking to you before the Kingsburg game. I don't know. It was probably about a month ago. You're doing great things there, obviously. Let's start out our conversation this way. At the beginning of the year, if I told you that CVC would be playing in the D3 Central Section title game, you would have said what?
You know, I've always had such a belief in this group. Going into this season, the X factor was always going to be the pitching. When we talked before that Kingsburg game, not a lot of pitching returning. My kind of two arms going into the year were Daniel Bikadan, who logged 8 innings last year, and Jensen Dunn, who logged 3 innings last year. And those two guys have shined all year long, kind of two of my aces. Daniel has logged 76 2/3 innings this year. Jensen has logged 59 innings. And so if I would have had those stats available to me, I would have told you there was a good chance. I love this group. They work hard and yeah, we're ready to keep rolling, man.
We're going to get into some game specific stuff in just a second, but what has made this ride so enjoyable for you the entire season? And obviously your 3 playoff wins.
Yeah, you know, again, going into this year, not sure what we had. I knew we had some bats coming back, but What I knew for sure is we had a group of guys that was going to buy into what we wanted to do. Not a single one of these guys feels like they're bigger than the program, and that's so massive when you're trying to build a culture, a positive culture to be a part of. And I've got a phenomenal coaching staff. I think they're absolutely one of the best in the Valley. And so when you add those two things together at a school as special as CVC, where there's so much community support and involvement, you add those things together and there's going to be success.
I know, the successful football program is a state championship a few years ago. The basketball program has had some really good seasons over the years. Heck, I used to coach against CVC. I know those baseball fields pretty well. For people that don't know the history of baseball at Central Valley Christian, do you know how many Central Section Championship games they've gone to, or have they even won one?
Yeah, so no, we have not won a Central Section Championship. Obviously, our most notable alum, Stephen Vogt, those teams back in the day, I was in grade school. I was the bat boy for those teams with Stephen Vogt, coached by Randy Vogt. Luke Vanderham was a stud on those teams. Matt Vertigal, some good baseball players, never won a championship. And then moving forward, we've been to three. We went three straight years to the Division V title game in 15, 16, and 17. In 2015, that was my senior year of high school, and I threw that game. We lost a close game, 2-0. Cesar Chavez. In 2016, they made it back and lost again to Cesar Chavez, 10-8. And then in 2017, that's one of the best baseball teams in program history, right there. And they had a phenomenal season, but ran into a really good Sierra Pacific team and lost that game as well. And since then, going into this year, we've only won two playoff games. We've had some talented kids come through the program, had some really good baseball teams, but you get the playoffs and the single game elimination. It's tough to win, man. And going into this year, we were ready to roll wherever we landed.
So I do have to ask you, and I'm glad you mentioned him, most famous alum, Stephen Vogt. Any word from him? Do you anticipate him sending a message? I mean, how awesome would that be?
Yeah, I try not to bug him too much. I saw him over winter break. He was in town with his family. His nephew needed a place to hit, so I was able to open up campus for him and let his nephew hit at our place, and so I was able to talk to him a little bit. But, we'll see. We'll see if we can get a hold of him, see if he can give us a message, and just a little confidence. I think that would be cool for the guys, and knowing Steve, I think he would make that happen. So we'll see what happens. If he does it, awesome. But I know he's rooting for us for sure.
That's great. And the Cleveland Guardians, those guys are on a heater right now. I think they've won 13 out of 18. And, man, what a great guy he is, and a great ambassador for CVC baseball and in the Central Valley Christian community as well. All right, so let's get in, Caleb, with a few of these wins, Rand. Different styles, different types of games, how you found yourself in the championship game. Mount Whitney, guys had to come back. I think you had to get three in the seventh inning, if I'm not mistaken. And then that win at Kingsburg, which was huge. And then just blowing out Edison 15-3. Just kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of how those games rolled through.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, right? And when the brackets came out, we weren't sure what we were going to see. We had a pretty good idea of a couple different options. We were pretty certain we were going to be traveling in the 8-9 game to Whitney. And the question mark was Kingsburg. Where were they going to land? Were they going to bump up to two? Were they going to stay in three? We were good either way. We really were. We knew Kingsburg would be the one if they were in three. And I've been saying it for the last month. If anybody's going to get Kingsburg, it's going to be in round two, because that's when Hirschhorn's probably not going to pitch. And again, we've had some close games with them, and feel like we're right there with them, feel like we're just as good as them. And so when I saw that come out, we were excited. But that Mount Whitney game, kind of a roller coaster. We were going into that game. We lost earlier in the season to them, I believe 14-0. And that was early on. Daniel Bikadam, who's been phenomenal this year through that game, and they just kind of hit him around. That's one of the one starts where he just got hit around, and you live with that. The kid found his zone, and so that he's going to have games like that. But we had Jensen Dunn lined up to throw that game. On Thursday, the day before, he came down with a stomach bug, and so we weren't sure if he was going to be good to go on Friday. He got to BP, said he's ready to go. He warmed up, threw his bullpen before the game. He's our leadoff hitter, leads off the game with a drag bunt, and then later comes around to score on a McCade Atkins, his first of three home runs in this postseason. We're riding a high right there, but next thing I know, I see Daniel Bikadam sprinting to the bullpen, and I'm out coaching third base. And I had no idea what was going on. I look at my pitching coach, and he just points to the corner of the dugout, and Jensen Dunn's throwing up in the corner of the dugout again. So Daniel Bikadam had less than 5 minutes to get hot, get ready to roll, and he went out there, no earned runs, five innings pitched, and did what he's done all season and was phenomenal. But, yeah, we were down 3-2 in that last inning. McCade Atkins leads off the inning, pops out, and that's a tough one, right? He's one of our best hitters. I think he's one of the best hitters in the section. But our senior leader, Brody Pimentel, come through with a double a couple extra hits later, and all of a sudden we're up 5-3, and junior pitcher Calvin Kaminsky comes in and slams the door on that. But going into Kingsburg, got hot early, had some good plate discipline, walked a couple times. McCade Atkins comes through with a hit. Brody Pimentel comes up with a couple RBIs, and we're up 4-0, feeling good. And then from that point on, third inning on, they quieted our bats, but Jensen Dunn was phenomenal that game, right? So we had him lined up for Friday night, but we're thankful it all worked out the way it does, because he was nailed against Kingsburg on Tuesday. He's been great against them all year long, so to have him available for that game was massive to us. And then going into Edison, we knew they'd score. We knew they'd score a lot. They play small ball. They run the base as well. They average a lot of runs a game, so we had to score early, and that's exactly what we did. Again, Jensen Dunn leads off the game with a bang, and a couple hits later, after two innings, we're up 6-0, and that's the best way to neutralize a small ball team, a team that likes to run the bases, is let's just score a lot of runs so they can't do that anymore. And then again, McCade Atkins, I think the game of the playoffs, 4-for-4. Two home runs, 8 RBIs, 3 runs scored, and those home runs were loud. His bat is really special. So, again, Daniel Bikadam threw the 5-inning complete game in that mercy rule, and was just great. So we're in a great spot right now. Obviously, we got a week off, and we've got it's great. We've got time to prepare. Arms can rest up, and we can decide how we want to attack Garza. But the bats are hot, I think we're going to keep them up, but it's tough. You get a week off after that, and you got to find a way to just stay going.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we only got another minute with you here, Coach. Yeah, you want to get back on the field because you guys are playing such good baseball. Really quick, Coach, I know you're an alum of the school. You're athletic director as well. What would it mean to bring a Central Section baseball title to Visalia and Central Valley Christian?
Yeah, man, it would mean the world with these guys. They're such a special group, and my phone's been blowing up the past week more than it's ever have. CVC alum reaching out to me, former players, and there's just a new energy right now with this program going into next year, into that new league with the Big Visalia Tulare schools. It's all working out so awesome, and glory to God, credit to my guys, the heart that they've shown, credit to my coaching staff, and credit to my administration for helping me out, making this possible, to coach. And then my wife and my kids have been great, sharing me with PVC and all that comes with being an athletic director and head baseball coach. So I'm super grateful.
Well, great stuff, man. This is going to be a heck of a game next week. So, hey, great meeting you about a month ago. Thanks for coming on, and good luck. Thanks, Caleb.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Yeah.
All right, that is a wrap for today. Thanks to First String Sports, Joe Gomez, for clutching up, producing the show today, Ryan Rosenthal, Jason Bain, Braden Love from Bowler, Dean Gregory, Randy Australian, Tim Carey, and Caleb Flores. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.